listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 146. Kayla Lord's here with the one, the only, the guy who helps me take however many takes it takes to start a show. We're on take, what, two, three? I don't know.
How many takes does it take?
We just keep turning it off and starting again.
Keep taking till we can't take no more.
Pretty much. John Brownstone. This week, we're talking about subspace. Yes, it's real. No, not everyone experiences it. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. And yes, it's like this all the time. Mm-hmm. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at lovingbdsm, on FetLife at lovingbdsmpc, on Instagram at that handle I hate, Loving DS and the number one, so Loving DS1 on Instagram, or on YouTube at youtube.com/lovingbdsm. All links are in the show notes, and if you are watching on YouTube, then the link to the show notes is in the description.
There you go.
A few announcements. I took 1 week off. I'm back, raring to go on announcements.
Yeah.
To say all the things.
You basically, what it comes down to, you have a shit pile of announcements, right?
I'm going to try and make them quick. Does that count? That counts. First of all,
I'm just going to sit here and look pretty.
Just look pretty for the camera and sound pretty for the podcast, if that's a thing that you can do. I don't know if it is. Okay, so we don't have any mail today for the bonus section. There will be a bonus section. I have much bitching to do. We don't have any mail for it. And we love mail. So if you ever want to send us a postcard, there is a link to our address, which will be changing over time. So I'm trying to say it less until we get the new P.O. box in a few months. There's a link to something called the Postcard Project. You can get our address. If you send us a postcard with your return address on it, I will send you one back eventually. But we love getting mail. And we don't have mail this week, not because we don't have any, but because we're time travelers. We're recording on a Tuesday.
Yes.
We have not checked mail.
Our week is flipped.
Yeah, normally we've been for a while we were recording on Sundays, and that was awesome.
Yeah.
And we really were time travelers.
But yes.
So yes, if you would like a shout out, if you just want to send us cutesy little mail. We've had people send Hallmark cards. We've had people send postcards. We've had people make their own postcards. Yeah. We've gotten handwritten letters. Yeah. We take it all. I love any mail that's not a bill, quite frankly. And once you go paperless, you don't even get bills in the mail. So it's like I get junk mail. I get the notice from the new dentist's office.
Catalogs.
Yeah, lots of catalogs. And the, scratch this thing off and you'll get this $50 gift card at the car dealership if you come by the car dealership.
I don't think so.
I don't need a car right now. Thanks.
No.
Okay. So that's that. All that whole convoluted thing is the mail.
Carry on.
I'm feeling punchy this week.
You're in rare form.
I am. We'll talk about why in the bonus section. Okay, so just a reminder, because somebody named John Brownstone does not always toot his own horn, and I will toot it. That sounds sexy. Yeah, I'll toot your horn. I'm here for that. hot in here. Anyway, just a reminder, if you are looking for unique, custom, handmade vanilla gifts, so pins, bowls, just interesting things to give somebody that you love in your life, even if it's yourself, check out his site, thewooddom.com. And if you're looking to add some kinky fuckery to your life, check out our mutual site.
That's covered too.
Yep, shop.kaylalords.com. Those are both linked on lovingbdsm.net. They're both linked in the show notes page. But those are custom items that John Brownstone makes with his own two hands. Very nice hands. Oh, yes, please keep doing that with your fingers. Thank you. And toot some horns in a second. Wait, what? We're off the rails. So just a reminder, those shops are there. Now that most of the country and even overseas has gotten past the back to school phase, you might be thinking about holidays already or anniversaries. Mm-hmm. We are all about some kinky gifts when you're in a relationship. Just saying, paddles, butt plugs, whatever you need, it's there. Just check it out. Okay. And then ever constant reminder that we would love to have even more people become kinky patrons of ours over on Patreon. Mm-hmm. If you love the bonus section at the end of the episode, if you're a cricket, You'll probably like the special one we do during for Patreon. And then I've been reading old blog posts out of my archive. And in the past few episodes, I've started adding commentary to them because they're really old. They're like from 2012 when I thought I knew something and I didn't know nothing BDSM, but I was trying. I was trying to figure it out. So we've got that. We've got behind the scenes pictures and polls and all kinds of stuff. So for as little as $1 a month, you can become a kinky patron and you can help us do more of what we do. So those are the announcements.
Okay.
Now we got to get into the show.
Okay.
And I am sort of a oh no, I want to do one more thing. I want, because I think people think all I do ever is drink coffee. I love coffee. It's my love language. But if I'm being honest, caffeine is my love language. Okay. I'm a Diet Coke drinker. I'll drink Diet. See, here's what's funny. I prefer Pepsi, full sugar, full octane Pepsi. And I prefer Diet Coke. And I don't like regular Coke. And I don't love Diet Pepsi. But I'll drink them all in a pinch. So I'm a Diet Coke drinker. And today, because it's low energy day here. And if you are on YouTube, you can see my beautiful peacock mug. I'm actually drinking tea because I don't always drink coffee. So I'm just pointing that out there. Just want the world to know, yes, you are drinking coffee.
It's a low energy day for me too, but I'm still drinking coffee.
You're committed, right?
Yeah. I'm you know, totally in for the cause.
Yeah. So, okay. Let's get into this. We said last week in episode 145 we were gonna do this topic, but the genesis of the topic was when I realized we hadn't done the topic. Right. And how we've gone this long. Now, here's the deal. I could go back very easily and pinpoint places where we have mentioned subspace, where I know I've probably given a really quick definition or really quick synopsis of my experience with it. But we've never just talked about subspace. We've talked about dom space.
Yeah.
We've talked about drop for both sub and dom. Mm-hmm. I'll link all those in the show notes if that's way back in the archive for you, or and you're like, well, I remember that, but not really. Or if you're really new and you're just picking up where you start from. We have some listeners who come to us and they listen to the whole back catalog, and I am amazed by you. And then we have some people like,
impressive.
No, I'm just starting right where I'm at.
Very impressive.
And I totally understand. So we have talked about these things in the past, but we've just never dedicated a whole episode to subspace.
No.
It's a huge topic. And it's a huge topic for a couple of reasons. One, I still online see people who say publicly, I am positive subspace is a myth. It does not exist because I've never experienced it. I also still see...
I've never experienced it either.
But you have experienced dom space. Yeah. Okay. And then the other side of the coin that I still see, and I say still because for me, now that I've been in the online space talking about BDSM and DS and being submissive online, or showing my submissive self online, to me it feels like forever, but people are always coming into the online community and there's new people all the time. So people are always at a different spot in their progress than anybody else. So of course we're still gonna see these, but the other one I still see all the time is, what's wrong with me? I can't hit subspace. All I want is to experience subspace. And I'm pretty sure that's hyperbole. I don't think that's all they want in life. I'm pretty sure they'd like to pay their bills. They'd like to have healthy relationships. But when they're talking about being a submissive, that's their focus. And in my opinion, others may disagree, both of those assessments are wrong. Completely wrong. Mm-hmm. First of all, subspace is not at all a myth. It may not happen for everybody. It may not have happened to you yet. It may never happen. There's no way to really know.
It's not a given that you're going to go to subspace.
No. But that doesn't discount other people's experiences with it.
Mm-hmm.
I have never jumped out of a plane, nor will I. However, I know it happens. I know it's a thing that exists.
People do it all the time.
I'm not doing it. People do it all the time.
Well, you know, as funny as I tried to make it sound earlier, you know, I said I've never experienced subspace, doesn't make it any less real.
Right. And so there is that. Maybe you're not even interested in subspace. That's cool. You don't have to be. I promise you, I have not on any consistent basis experienced subspace in at least a couple of years, probably. And because, and this is where we get to the other side of that, where people are chasing subspace. I mean, if subspace chaser isn't a thing, let's make it a thing, because that's what it feels like. if the whole purpose that I had to scening with you or in any kinky experience was, you know, fingers crossed I'd reach subspace, I would be a very disappointed human being right now.
You would.
It would be devastating, which is where my heart hurts for people who think that way. Because if all you're chasing is this one experience that you may or may not have, you are missing out on everything happening right there in front of you. So subspace, for those who might not be quite familiar with it, or maybe you've heard the term, but you're like, fuck, I don't know. It's defined in different ways depending on how you've experienced it, but the most common definition is a floaty feeling, usually at the end of a scene, not always. I have gone into a very light layer of subspace, mm-hmm. and all I had my hair pulled, y'all. I mean, it was like I got talked to in a certain tone, I had my hair pulled, and my eyes were rolling back in my head. Woo, Lord, okay. Now, that was back in the day when I was in the middle of sub frenzy. So it didn't take much. It really, really didn't take much. But I have also had my ass beat. You're not going to own it. It feels
good.
Are
you sure about that?
All I can feel right now is the pain. It's not in subspace. I'm also blushing red, if you can see on YouTube. I have my whole body just flushed. It's really hot in here now. So subspace is typically characterized by a floaty feeling. I read this fascinating article that mm-hmm. was written ages ago in Psychology Today about the biochemical response that goes on in people's bodies, whether they're the submissive or the dominant. Now, they did not call it subspace. They did not call it top space. They didn't give it that kind of name. And they didn't even differentiate in that particular study between what kind of mental state the person was in. So they, were they like all excited and raring to go and we're in this scene? Or had they gotten to that really zoned out, zenned out, relaxed phase? So there's a lot of unknowns here. Mm-hmm. But in that description, and I'll link the article in the show notes, they talked about the biochemical response, the endorphins flooding, the dopamine, all those things. Right. And then they talked about how the brain sort of reacted. And they described for submissives this very unfocused, the floaty feeling, the sort of drifting kind of thing. And I went, well, they're talking about subspace. That's the feeling. And when they talked about a dominant or a top who might be experiencing it, they absolutely described John Brownstone's version of dom space, that really hyper-focused, vigilant, just laser focus kind of thing on their partner.
So subspace is tied in to the chemical reactions going on in the body.
That's the thought.
That's the theory.
And the way I've always explained it is, yes, it's the endorphins, it's the adrenaline, it's all those things happening at kind of a higher level than just, oh, this feels good. And it does feel to me, it feels like being high. Now, I don't have a lot of experience with being high, so other people might not describe it that way. But the way I have experienced subspace, and it's been multiple ways, there have been times that I literally could not form a thought. Words could not connect for me to, in thought form, have a sentence in my head. I have not been able to speak. I have not been able to speak or think. I have almost like a meditative kind of state where I'm just sort of there, and it's a really mindful kind of thing, but I'm not conscious of anything. Sometimes a very physical response. Sometimes I almost go mute. You just can't. I'm not there with you. Now, based on conversations I've had with other submissives, every submissive experiences it a little differently. And those of us who have experienced it multiple times tend to say it's a little bit different every time. It's not necessarily the exact same response. But it is absolutely the best way I know to describe it, if I'm giving a general description, is you feel high. You're floating in space, and it is the most relaxed I'm capable of being. It when I'm in the type of subspace where I can at least form conscious thoughts, like I know what I'm thinking, I might not be able to speak them. They might not even stick with me for very long, but I can think kind of clearly. I can think to myself, wow, this feels amazing. I mean, this is like take the best deep tissue massage you've ever gotten and times it by 10. You know, the way, for me, the way my body relaxes. Now, part of that might be because we do impact play And the way it affects my muscles mm-hmm. is to relax them. Part of it, that might be the thrill of having done something that we don't necessarily normally do. I would not be surprised, at least in my own experience, if being able to hit subspace is a little bit a part of the thrill. And I don't mean thrill like roller coaster thrill ride, but sort of this excitement and happiness at doing something and just almost not even being able to contain yourself that you get to do this thing. And the reason I say that is because very early on in my journey into submission or my early experiences with mm-hmm. submission, it really did take very little. You know, the first time I experienced any impact play, my mind was gone from that moment. I could physically move. I had a control over my body, mm-hmm. and I don't always have that in subspace, but I couldn't. I mean, it was, I was on an endorphin high for sure. And then other times it was a full-blown scene, and I was a limp noodle. Nothing worked until I kind of came out of it. But that was very, it felt very easy for me at that time. I know that's not everybody's experience. I know there are people who've been submissives for years and years and years and have never experienced, or there's some who didn't experience it in the beginning and they can now, or they do now. And some maybe that's sometimes your partner too, and how you relate to your partner. It's situational. Last week in episode 145, when we were talking about tears and an emotional response, remember I talked about how it's about being mindful, that if I'm thinking of a million other things, I can't have the emotional response that I want. Well, the same for me is true in subspace. If my brain can't shut off and just live the moment, I'm not hitting subspace. And back mm-hmm. in the day, in the early days of my DS experience, it was, the sensations were so new and so exciting and so powerful that they overwhelmed everything. Like, there wasn't room for a stray errant thought to creep in about my to-do list or my grocery list or what I had to clean. Mm-hmm. Like, none of that got through because all I could think about and experience was that moment. It was that overwhelming. And that may have had something to do with my ability to slip into subspace. These days, you and I have to go to a club.
Right.
And the conditions have to be perfect. If I'm even going to. So this goes back to what I was saying in the beginning about how you cannot be a subspace chaser, because you are missing out on the thing that you're actually experiencing. If the whole goal for you is to get to subspace, are you paying attention to what's happening in the middle? Like, are you there in the scene going, oh, this feels good. Oh, I enjoy this. Oh, this is a turn on. Oh, look at my partner coming up with that creative idea. I'm like, no, you're like, got to get to subspace. I'm going to guess you might be missing out on like half of what's going on. I always look at, and I know I get to say this from sort of a place of privilege of it having at one time been easy for me to feel it, but that's not the point. I've never played to get to subspace. Mm-hmm. I don't want to play to get to subspace because I can't count on subspace. I can count on John Brownstone doing his damnedest to make me feel good, to give me something that I like, even if I'm saying, I hate this, Daddy. First, the sadist and masochist, fine. But I can count on that. I can't count on subspace. Right. I don't want to count on subspace. It feels, I'm not going to lie. That's a good feeling. That's a relaxed feeling.
So it should never be the end all be all.
No. And I worry for people who focus on that. I worry for people who, that's all they think of. They question their submission. They question their worthiness. Am I really submissive if I've never gotten to subspace? Hell fuck yeah, you are. Are you submitting? Are you doing something that your partner wants you to do? Did you give your partner control of any part of your relationship? Guess what? You're submissive. Even if you're switching, in that moment, you're submissive. Reaching subspace, I think we treat it, and not everybody, definitely not everybody, but there are some people who treat it like a little bit like a status symbol. Oh, well, I can get to subspace. You can't? I'm so sorry. I don't have time for that kind of negativity in my life either, okay? You know what I want out of a kink scene? Subspace, it's icing on a very, it's like the extra layer of icing. You know, have you ever iced a cupcake and you're like, oh, I've got extra icing left. Let me add like a whole bunch more to the top of the icing.
Kind of like when you put icing on a cake and then you put a layer of fondant over it.
Maybe. I don't eat the fondant, but I'll eat extra icing, okay? But subspace to me is the extra layer of icing on an already iced cake, okay? I've already gotten what I wanted out of it. And if I happen to go to subspace, it's a happy surprise. It's a yay, look, I had this moment. Mm-hmm. But let's be real. First of all, not everybody actually loves subspace. Now, why? Because it can feel like a total lack of control. Because depending on how your body responds and how your mind responds, you can be completely out of control. You're probably the most vulnerable outside of like maybe being tied up and naked somewhere. It's one of the most vulnerable positions to be in.
That's true, because every time that you have been in deep subspace, I have basically had to take you by the hand and lead you.
Yes. I'm not capable of rational thought. I can't speak. I can't take care of myself. No, I can come out of it kind of quickly.
You can, given the right aftercare and right circumstances, yes, you can come out fairly quickly.
But yeah,
excuse me.
It's why it's imperative that you play with somebody you trust.
Yeah.
Because you can't predict necessarily. Now, you might know yourself well enough to go, I've never gone into subspace. I'm likely never to go into subspace. It's just not going to happen. It's not something I'm worried about. And you probably can have a fairly reasonable expectation that you probably won't. But that's not a guarantee. Mm-hmm. Or you could be the type of person who's like, well, sometimes I do and sometimes I don't, and I never quite can tell, and happens at random. You have to be careful who you play with, okay?
True.
If you're in a long-term loving relationship, somebody you play with the same person over and over again, you've got your aftercare sort of settled, you know what you're going to do, you know, trust that other person, you've had these conversations, you're cool. Experience it, don't experience it, it's just part of the flow of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're playing with different partners and you're negotiating scenes and you know you're capable of it, you have to be really careful. Now, I know some people who say they can go to subspace with a partner that they care for, partly because of the trust factor.
Okay.
And then there are some people who just, I mean, that's amazing. They just slip into it so easy. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter who they play with. So you have to know yourself as well. But it is absolutely imperative that this is one of the reasons why we stress so much. You have to play with somebody you trust, somebody that you at least believe in enough that they will take care of you, especially if you become nonverbal, because that's one of the safety mechanisms with subspace. We have the unspoken rule, and I don't always love it, quite frankly, but once I can't speak anymore,
We're done.
And it's why he checks in. So this thing out there that some dominants are like, I don't have to check in, I can just tell by looking at body language. Fuck that shit, okay? You better check in with me. You better say something, because you won't know. If I stop being able to speak, how the fuck am I going to safe word? How am I going to indicate that I am somehow in distress or that something is wrong? I can't. I've maybe hit that subspace level where I'm now nonverbal. And I'm high as a fucking kite. How am I going to keep consenting to whatever we're doing? It's for me, at least, it's impossible. So that's yet another reason why there's not a damn thing wrong with the dominant who verbally checks in and waits for a response. Now, sometimes subspace takes my ability to speak, but not my ability to think. So I can't get my mouth to go, I'm fine.
The mouth won't coordinate with
the
brain.
He loves that, by the way. It's one of the few times. And my brain is going, no, keep going, I can take it. But I can't
verbalize
speak. I can't say it. And it's frustrating. Quite frankly, it's one of those moments I'm like, fuck this subspace shit. We'd still be playing if I could talk.
Here's a question for you.
Uh-huh.
In all this. Uh-huh. And I'm sure mileage may vary.
Mileage always varies.
Right. Especially depending person to person. How long can subspace last?
It is definitely a person-to-person thing. So I have what I always call kind of a light layer. Like, I've hit that a few times. And that's like 5 minutes. I almost really got high. But we didn't continue the play. Or something happened and I was, you know, jolted out of it. And it was a couple seconds, a couple minutes. I think the longest I remember with you was easily 30 minutes.
Okay.
I'm just laying there, just floating like a kite, y'all. and it's a very strange experience. I have no opinion on drug use other than that I don't. Because I don't like the feeling.
Yeah.
And yet, with subspace, I think that's why it's so funny to me that it's cool that I get there, but I also don't care. One, because I've been there, so I recognize if you've never experienced it and you want to, you might care very much. But I've had the experience. But I also don't like being high. I don't like feeling out of control of my own faculties. So I can let my body be under somebody else's control. I can let my actions be under somebody else's control. But my brain and my ability to decide I'm going to move now, I'm going to speak now, that's not my favorite feeling in the world. So if I hit subspace and that's what's taken away from me, I'm like, I'm not upset. I'm not mad, but I am not just floating necessarily. I have gone to such deep subspace that all I could do is float. Like, I didn't have an opinion on what was happening, but if you had talked to me afterwards, I'd have been like, yeah, it was cool that it happened, you know, to get that kind of rush. But I was ready to be able to move and put my clothes on. Like, I wanted a glass of water and I couldn't have water. Like, I am that person. And that probably makes me strange, you know. And maybe that comes from the fact that I have experienced it and it's not something I'm chasing. It's not something that I wish I understood what it felt like. But I think that also explains why some people aren't necessarily in love with it. Like, they might get there, but they're not excited that they got there because it is a lack of control. Because some people are going to find this hard to believe. Some, not all submissives, are kind of control freaks. It's how we can get... You can't give up control unless you've had control, okay? So...
That's a very good point.
And a lot of us either still have control in certain parts of our lives while we're submissive, or prior to being submissive, being in a relationship where we can be submissive, we have control over everything. And so it's almost for those of us who feel that way, it tends to be a relief. We're like, oh, please take some of this. Oh, can I trust you with this? Oh, okay, take some of this. And that doesn't mean we won't fight until we get comfortable. So, you know, for me, yeah, it's nice. It's nice as a little thing. I'm not seeking it. And sometimes I'm annoyed by it. Now, we did have one moment. We played. It was such intense. Like, it wasn't a scene in the sense like we do at the club. Like, I wasn't tied up to anything. We were in a hotel room, and we had 19 hours to spend together. And that's all we had. And that was like an epic blog post, by the way.
Yes.
And we did... It felt like we did just all the kinky things.
We did all the things.
We did all the things. We had to
In 19 hours.
In 19 hours. I mean, and I still had... I was at a business conference, and I still had to slip out, go to conference meetings, come back. Hotel room. I've never wanted to get out of meetings so quickly. They were like, oh, normally you like to stay late. Nope. Can I go? Do you need me? I got dinner plans. Yeah, dinner plans. The part of it, the subspace experience, was I think you mentioned in episode 145 where he broke my hairbrush over my ass.
Yes.
We popped that thing back together. It's in my purse right now. I've been carrying it ever since. But he... You spanked me over and over again. I didn't even feel the pain after a while. I think you gagged me with like a washcloth from the bathroom, if I recall.
Because I didn't. I went out there on my motorcycle.
Right, you didn't have all your gear.
So I did not have any toys or anything with me. No paddles, cane, nothing. So everything I used, I improvised from the hotel room.
Yeah, it was a pervertible scene from start to finish. Every bit of it was preferable. So yeah, you gagged me with a washcloth. We did honor bondage, which is you are literally on your honor not to move. You get into a position, your dom says don't move. This and you don't. There's no rope, there's no ties, there's nothing.
Yeah, it's, no cuffs, just, nothing.
It's you. And it's huge self-discipline. It's hard as fuck.
and you did a fine job.
Oh, God, I was so into it. And that is the only time that I went into subspace. You stopped. I regained the power of speech. And I basically said, more.
Yeah.
Do not stop. Hurt me. And then I lost the power of speech again. And everything stopped. And you're like, are you, you know, we can stop. And you're starting to provide aftercare. And I mean, I still, what was so funny, there's so much of that moment I've lost, and we'll talk about that in a second because I think that happens a lot in subspace too. But what I remember is almost mentally clawing my way back to speech to be able to say, keep fucking going. I'm not done yet.
Yeah. It was it was kind of one of those things where you came out enough to say, hurt me like you hate me.
Right, I did. I'd forgotten I said that. Yes.
Yes.
Hurt me like you hate me. Oh, that was hot. So here's another thing with subspace that you have to be mindful of. Your memory will absolutely fade. I know this happens to me all the time without subspace, and I know it happens to other people because I've talked to them about it. Sometimes if you're just in an intense scene, especially as the submissive, you don't remember all the details the next day because your senses get overwhelmed and there's so much going on, and your brain latches onto certain things, but not necessarily everything. Yet another reason to please play with people you can depend on. Please and thank you, because you need to know, you might need to know something important that happened, and if you can't remember, you need a partner you can trust who will tell you what happened. And I do, in just intense scenes with no subspace, I forget entire swaths of time, but in subspace, it is like watching a dream sequence from a movie. You know, in movies, they'll show a dream sequence, and it's just flashes of pictures and lights and sounds, and almost none of it makes sense. Some of my recollections of scenes are exactly that, because there's a moment where I remember the beginning way before I was in subspace, you know, how I got tied up, what position I was in, what you were using. Mm-hmm. And then I remember clearly coming out of subspace and where I was sitting or what was going on. But there in the middle, it all gets jumbled. And I'll remember moments. I'll remember small experiences. But over the course of like 19 hours, I can remember clearly an hour's worth, and I know we seen for hours. Mm-hmm. That was one of those few really intense, like we were being long distance at the time, we were packing it all in as much as we could get in that short time together.
Yes, we were.
And yeah, I couldn't tell you most of it. The things I remember are the things that shocked my senses. They were the moments where I brought myself out of subspace as best I could just to be verbal. I couldn't have moved my body if I'd tried. I'd lost all of that. I was so deep into it. But my mind was still working, and I needed my mouth to work too.
To get on board with it, right?
Right. So it is one of those things that, yes, it can be intense. Mm-hmm. But it is also a risky thing. And we don't talk about it in terms of risk. We don't talk about the safety hazards of subspace. And we absolutely need to, because there are those people out there chasing it, and they will try to get it with anybody who'll look at them cross-eyed. And if you don't know what the potential risks are, especially if you don't know how you might react to it, you might not be prepared, especially if you're playing with somebody who's seedy and distasteful and bad news. You know, you need somebody who knows your limits,
right,
respects those limits, and actually cares about your safety more than their pleasure. Okay? And you don't have to be married to that partner. You don't have to be in a long-term relationship with that partner. They need to be an ethical kinkster. You can negotiate that kind of play with people you're not attached to if that's your thing. But they have to demonstrate in some way that they are ethical, so you know that if you lose all faculties and you can't respond,
that you're safe.
That you're safe. And I think that's another reason that I don't want to say I get frustrated. I get worried for people who are all about that. They're like, I haven't experienced. I want to. I don't care who it's with. I'll do anything to get to subspace. But you don't know how you're going to react. And you don't know how you'll feel about it when you do have it. I think some people probably are a little surprised. They're like, wait, I can't physically move anything? I don't think I like this feeling. I'm not knocking subspace. I'm not going to act like, oh, no, huh, I could do without it. But I recognize the things I don't love about it, too. It's why it's not that important to me. And I can't, like I said, I've said this before. I come at it from a place of having experienced it, so I can make those judgment calls. And until you have experienced it, you can't necessarily. Now, safety with subspace, we talked about this. The moment I become nonverbal, all play stops.
That's it. Done deal.
I think the rule, if we want to generalize the rule for most people, it's the moment you can't respond to even let your partner know what you need. Mm-hmm. So if you're still able to do an agreed upon hand gesture, if you can communicate, doesn't always have to be verbally, but if you can communicate, then y'all can decide that between you if that's good enough acceptable. For you to continue. For us, because we do use the color system, and unless I'm gagged, it's verbal. I have to be able to answer. The moment I can't answer, we stop. Now,
For those of you who don't know the color system, it's based like a red light. So I will ask her for a color. If she gives me the color green, we're good to go. If she gives me the color yellow, then I back off a bit. If it's red, everything stops.
Everything stops. And that prevents me from trying to have to remember a safe word in the middle. Right. Sometimes, and this happens to a lot of submissives, we are desperate to take what we can get or to show our doms that we're strong or that we can handle it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we'll just bypass the safe word and just keep going and tell ourselves we don't need to. We'll grit our teeth. We'll
grin and bear it.
Right. And so, for some people, that's a turn on. That's what they want, is to grin and bear it. That's not what I want. I want it to feel good too. I want it to hurt like hell, but for me in a scene, that's what I like. But I want it to feel good too. So by him making me say something, I have to, one, I have to be able to say something, which is how it connects to subspace.
Right.
And two, I have to give an honest answer. Now, since we're on this little sidetrack of the color system, if you're capable of speaking, and this is another way he knows he can keep going longer, because if I can get wordy, when all I'm supposed to do is give a one-word answer, then I'm fine. I'm not in subspace. So I'll say...
That's a big tell.
Yeah, if it's like recording a podcast, I'm not anywhere near subspace. But I'll say things like, greeny yellow. And he'll go, what? I'll be like...
What the fuck?
And I'll say,
I'm not beating your ass hard enough. Right?
Well, that's part of what I mean.
Yeah.
But I'm like, keep going, but maybe not with that thing. And I say, kind of a yellow. And see, yellow, this is in the green light system or the color system, where yellow is, pardon this expression, a gray area. Because for some people, yellow means slow down what you're doing.
Right.
Right. For others of us, especially impact play or play where multiple toys can get used, for me, yellow will sometimes mean, please stop with that thing or that intensity.
I mean, she doesn't like that particular toy.
Right, but I don't want you to stop altogether. I can't give you a red.
Which means I'm just going
to
keep going with it anyway.
Yeah, so you have to be careful. But with subspace, get back on track here. With subspace, if that's your typical method is to do verbal response back and forth and you can't give an answer, how can you keep yourself safe? You can't. You cannot relay information. And the other thing about subspace is with any kind of play, so with bondage, it's about, is something too tight? Is your circulation getting cut off? With impact play, are you getting hit in the wrong spot? Are you getting hit too hard? For many of us, once we hit subspace, one, our ability to handle pain changes. You have a higher pain. Not everybody, I'm sure, but a lot of people have a higher pain tolerance.
Pain threshold, yes.
And so your partner could be beating you like they're holding a Louisville slugger, okay? And you might not recognize it. That your positioning on that is just too good. Like you had some experience on my ass with swinging a baseball bat. So you don't even have, even if you can speak sometimes, you have to be careful because you might not be sensing pain in the same way. And as a masochist, I know how exciting that can be because it's like, yes, I can take more, right? Maybe I'll get a mark from this. Maybe I'll get a bruise. Maybe this. I totally get it. But you also have to be aware that your partner might hit you too hard in just the wrong spot and actually hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm an err on the side of caution kind of person. Not everybody plays that way, but I do. So while I hate when he stops and I'm not really ready for him to, I also respect it because he's pretty good at what he does and he knows where to hit me, but anybody can make a mistake.
Right.
He could get caught off guard and slip and just hit me like an inch mm-hmm. lower or an inch higher than normal. And if he's coming at me with the full force that he's been coming at me with, I might not be in a position to go, whoa, that was the wrong spot. So like right now when we play, we've talked about this before, face slapping mm-hmm. and of course hair pulling and all the other ways to hit. Like if he hits my face, I can tell him, oh, you got my ear, please be careful. And he's like, oh shit, you know, and he adjusts. Or he'll see maybe that my face is blooming red and he'll check in, you good? And if I can speak, then we're fine. And I can give feedback mm-hmm. with what he's doing, which is a thing that submissives should do. You shouldn't, I mean, I know it's kind of sexy to some of us to be that silent, willing, just letting things happen to us. But in the real world, sometimes you got to say, please don't hit me there. Mm-hmm. That was not good pain. Or you have to say, this rope, my fingers are tingling. And I know that's not normal. Like you have to be able to give that feedback. And when you're in subspace, you can't always do that.
That's true. But you can say it or ask it in a sexy way.
Oh, of course. It can be part of the scene. But my point is that there are plenty of submissives who are like, I'm supposed to be silent this whole time.
How's my slut doing?
Goodness. I feel like you've come on strong. Proof that you have to be in the right mindset for that shit.
Right.
That's really sexy. And I know some submissives out there who just swoon. Unfortunately. Do you want to edit that out?
No.
Okay. Nice try, though. Those were good moves.
Thank you.
Mindset is everything.
Yeah, I know. Like, middle of a podcast, probably. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And good try, though. Good try.
I'll drink to that.
I feel kind of bad that I didn't like fall into it. But we all, if you've heard any past episodes, you know how I feel about dirty talk, role play. Really? Okay, where were we?
Well, maybe I did distract you
a little bit. Well, you definitely distracted me. But that's the thing. Yes, checking in to make sure your partner is verbal can be part of the sexiness. Responding with, ooh, maybe not right there, can be part of the sexiness. Yeah. But the point is, in this discussion on subspace, is if you can't do that, therefore, you can't keep yourself safe either.
Right.
And in all the ways we've talked about safety and consent, and we have a couple episodes on those things, being aware of the risks is... and protecting yourself against risk is part of your responsibility as a submissive. It's our responsibility as kinksters. I don't care which side of the slash you're on. But if you know that you can get into subspace or that mm-hmm. you're prone to subspace or that, you know, you're hoping it's a possibility, you still have to be able to keep yourself safe.
Right. Keep yourself safe. Do it in a safe environment and play with somebody who is safe.
Right.
And you're going to keep you safe.
And there are times that you can be duped by somebody and you think they're decent, you think they're responsible, and you find out, maybe not. And when do you find out? Mid-fucking scene. So at that point...
That's the wrong time.
That's the wrong time, but it does happen. And so at that point, then you have to start trying to take care of yourself and extricating yourself. And of course, the worst case scenario is, and God, I hope this does not happen to anybody, is that you can't. It's because that person so doesn't respect... anything, they try to keep going. We know people in our local community that's happened to. And they were absolutely, as they should be, traumatized by the event. But for those of you out there who are like me and you're risk averse, before this happens to you, remember these safety tips. It doesn't mean you can prevent everything. Of course not. Some people are liars and they will present themselves one way. And, you know, but if you think that you are never supposed to speak up or... If you don't realize that having the ability to speak in a scene is important, then that's a problem. It's harder to protect yourself if you don't know that. So yes, going nonverbal is a risky move. And so you have to be careful who you play with. Now, you've had the scene, you have or have not gotten into subspace. Let's say you have gotten into subspace. Everybody's aftercare is different and everybody thinks of aftercare in a different way. There are people out there who say, I don't want traditional aftercare. I don't want you all up on me after this scene. And they say, this is a submissive. Just kind of leave me to my own devices. That's what I want. Here's what I would say to you if we're talking about subspace. one of the most irresponsible things a person can do, a top or dom could do, would be to completely leave you alone. They do not have to be all up your ass hugging on you if that's not your thing. But when you're in subspace, if at all possible, you should not be left alone.
No.
Not until you at least have your faculties back. Not until you can at least speak or move, okay? Because you are in an extremely vulnerable position when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like I said, you might not want anybody in your physical space. You don't want anybody cuddling you, or you don't, you those things might not be your jam. That's fine. But absolutely, the partner who put you in subspace, who helped you get there, needs to stick around just long enough to make sure you're okay. Just long enough for you to be able to take care of yourself again.
Right.
Or for a friend you trust to come help you take care of yourself again. Somebody needs to be with you while you're going through that, while you're coming out of that. Because anything can happen. Anything at all can happen. Not just what other people might do to you, but you could pass out. You could start to shiver. I get an adrenaline rush. My whole body just quakes.
Mm-hmm.
And typically what I need is a blanket around me, and because I don't mind being touched during aftercare, strong arms, big hug, just hold me tight. You don't have to talk to me. You don't have to do any of that crap. Just hold on to me until I can, hopefully the shaking will stop.
Right.
And he usually doesn't go anywhere until I can at least look him in the eyes and speak to him. I might be mumbling, it might be gibberish, but I can speak and I can like sit up on my own.
Mm-hmm.
Now for our aftercare, there's usually food involved.
Yes.
And almost always water.
Food, water, and a Hello Kitty blanket.
Yeah, I'm a Hello Kitty blanket, which has not been in the background of our YouTube video in a few weeks. We have to, where is that thing?
I put it away in the closet.
Oh, we have to get that. I'm ready for the weather to get a little chilly. It's still warm.
Yeah, that's why
I need my Hello Kitty blanket.
That's why it was put away. It was too dang hot.
Yeah. But that's what I need, and we know that.
Yeah.
So, if you're already in an established relationship or you've played with this person multiple times, whatever your standard aftercare method is, you can do that. Just have the conversation if you haven't gone into subspace yet.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you did go into subspace and the aftercare you got wasn't quite enough, have this conversation well before you play again and say, okay, let's make sure that we kind of know what we're going to do if this happens. You know, if I go into subspace, don't leave me alone, please, until, you know, I come back to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And as if you're a dominant out there and you've got a submissive who really does prefer very hands-off aftercare, and that's valid. I mean, we as a community talk a lot about what aftercare looks like. And there's a very stereotyped sort of discussion about it. And some people are like, I really don't like all of that. Please don't cuddle with me. Please don't hold my hand. Just go away, right? That's, if you know your submissive partner is kind of like that and that's what they need or what they want, have the conversation, get to a place of agreement about what you'll do if they hit subspace though. So that you both know and can consent to it before it ever happens. And if it never happens, then fine. But if it does happen, you have a plan. And you can take care of your submissive until they can take care of themselves. Simple as that.
There you go.
Now the other side, and we have done an episode on this, so I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this. No, really, he laughed at me.
Yeah.
Is drop, sub drop. Now we have done an entire episode on drop for both sides of the slash. I think this is why I was like, but wait, haven't we talked about subspace? Because how do you talk about drop and not talk about subspace? So drop can happen without subspace. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Long distance relationships. You finally get to see each other for a few days. You have to be apart until your next visit and you experience drop. You have a really intense scene and you don't hit subspace necessarily, but it's really intense. And then you go through drop. So drop can happen for multiple reasons.
Right.
But a huge reason for drop, if you go into subspace, what goes up has to come down.
That's okay.
True. If you're not the type of person to experience drop and you finally hit subspace, be prepared for something. You won't necessarily know what it's going to be.
Hmm.
You won't know how bad or heavy or hard it'll hit you. You can't know it till you go through it. Like subspace, sub drop, is, for me, it's always been a little different every time. It's been a long time, thankfully, since I've experienced drop. Mm-hmm. I now get convention drop. Yeah. I have the high of, oh, being at a convention, Eroticon, or something else.
Con drop.
Con drop. And then I get home, and I'm like, ooh, life sucks, right? But the drops I've had from Subspace have been different every time. So there was the time I truly thought I was getting the flu. I was like, oh my God, I am so sick. That. I'm achy. I just want to sleep. I feel sick to my stomach. A day later, I was perfect. I was like, what the hell happened? Drop. I have had the experience where it went 2 or 3 days and I thought, I'm okay. And then I dropped out of nowhere. Like a freaking rock.
That happens a lot. I've heard that happen. I have heard that a lot to too. People that, you know, two, 3 days later, that's when it hits.
Yep. I've had the, I've had an immediate drop where I was just weepy and sad and just, now that I know what actual depression for me feels like, I can't say I was depressed in the clinical sense, like in the mental health sense, but it was very teary, very sad, just wanted to sleep, just laid in bed, no energy, zero energy. So for me, drop, just like Subspace, happens in multiple ways. And I can't possibly imagine I'm the only human being that happens to. So if you hit Subspace, or when you have hit Subspace, drop is almost inevitable. I'm sure there are some people out there who are like, nope, never had it. I would say they're probably the exception to the rule. I think that kind of mental high, physical and mental high that you're on, you got to get back to equilibrium somehow. And the vast majority of us are going to drop before we balance back out.
True.
And it's just going to hit us in different ways. So it's why, and we talked about this in the aftercare show that we did ages ago. Mm-hmm. One of the things your top or dominant should be prepared to do if they're not living with you is to check in on you a couple of days after you've hit Subspace.
Absolutely.
Because it's part of continuing aftercare just to make sure you're okay. Because, and
if they can't, you should have somebody, a close friend in the lifestyle that you can reach out to.
Exactly. And if you're not close to the person you're playing with, who are you close to? And you know, say, hey, this might happen. I'm about to scene. Could you just help me? And a friend is going to do that. They're going to go, yeah, sure, happily. And they're going to call you, or they're going to email you, or they're going to do whatever. But it is part of it. And I saw a tweet from Molly Moore. So the day I'm recording it, I saw it like a day ago. By the time you hear it, it was a week ago. where she had like a really good experience and a really good scene or whatever. And she went into drop and didn't even realize till somebody else pointed out that she was in drop. That happens to us all the time. Okay. Yeah. Experienced submissives, new submissives, because you don't, even though you know it's a possibility, you don't always expect it, especially when it doesn't happen within 24 hours. It's 2 days later, or you didn't think you hit Subspace that hard or whatever. And you're like, what? I'm in drop. So sometimes you need that outside person who's not you to go, I think you might be in drop. That was an intense scene we had.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you know about drop, you can kind of go, oh, okay, I just have to baby myself through this and it'll pass, you know, however long it takes. And that's another thing with drop. Sometimes it's gone in a day, and sometimes I've had it go on for a week before. Mm-hmm. God, that was miserable. All you can do is ride the wave and get through it as best you can. Whatever self-care works for you. So Subspace, the recap is, yeah, it's real. Some people love it.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, I'm indifferent to it. I enjoy it when it happens.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not, come on, y'all. Yeah, look, I had such a good, intense experience that I got high. Okay, yeah, that's cool.
I'd be curious to know, you're indifferent to it. A lot of people love it.
Right.
People seek it. They want to go there.
That's the other thing I meant to talk about.
Does anybody not like it?
Yeah, I would love to know that.
I would love to know if there's anybody out there that doesn't like when they go into Subspace.
And I could have sworn I saw something online. I can't remember if it was like Twitter or somebody's blog where that's exactly what they said. They were like, I do not like this.
Huh.
I didn't like it. Okay. And so I'm sure people like that are out there. But because there's all this hype around Subspace,
yeah,
they think they can't say anything. They shouldn't admit it. I mean, I feel a little weird saying, yeah, I mean, it's nice when it happens, but I am indifferent to it because it's not the purpose of anything I'm doing. Like, mm-hmm. if I get there, remember what I said, y'all? It's the second layer of icing on that cupcake. We talked about this in episode 145, and I think we briefly mentioned it. You and your squeaky chair.
Yeah.
We briefly mentioned it in this episode, but I want to reiterate.
That wasn't my chair. That was me.
Oh, you're creaking. Okay. When you chase subspace, you are less likely to get there. When you put a lot of pressure on yourself to experience subspace, you are less likely to get there. I think it goes back, at least to my theory, and it's all theory, y'all. My theory in episode 145, where we talked about mindfulness. You know, if all you're thinking about is, I have to get there, I have to get there, I have to get there, you're not getting there. You're not. You know, at some point, I think for the majority of us at least, we have to get out of our heads. And maybe that's what a lot of us, you know, because back in the day, I enjoyed subspace. You know, the first couple times, I'm like, oh, this is nice. And it only takes a couple times a drop where I'm like,
ooh, okay. There's a other side to this.
Right. Ooh. Or having my scene interrupted a little early, like I wasn't really ready for that to be over with. but, you know, it's, you have to have your senses overwhelmed, I think.
Yeah.
And if you're focusing on the end result and not what's happening in the moment to be able to enjoy it, I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's another reason why I have little to no interest to chasing subspace. I want to be in the moment and enjoying, for us, it's impact play, y'all. I want to be enjoying the paddle on my ass. I want to be enjoying the kinky fuckery things that are happening. I want to, you know, the exhibitionism I might be doing at the club, or that's what I want to focus on. And I think that when we focus on the moment we're experiencing, the scene we're in, the connection to the other human being on the other side of the slash, we won't care if we get to subspace, but when we do, it's a highlight. It's a nice thing that happened, but everything else was so good that you didn't even miss it if it wasn't there. You wouldn't have even noticed that it wasn't there. And quite frankly, I love being able to leave the club feeling really relaxed and kind of zenned out, sure, but able to hold my drink or my hamburger or what, because I'm going to eat after seeing y'all. I don't care if we've seen at 9 o'clock in the morning or 9 o'clock at night, I'm going to eat. But I actually, you know, love being able to have a conversation and be kind of goofy and silly and really relaxed, but to be myself and to just have enjoyed that moment.
Sure.
So subspace is real. Not everybody experiences it. I don't think everybody loves it. I think a lot of people do.
Yeah.
And the more you focus on trying to get there, the less likely it is you're ever going to get there.
There you go.
Safety, safety, safety.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, yes.
Please be
always
safe. Okay.
Okay.
I think that's it.
All right.
I know. Well, for me, feeling low energy at the beginning, I
you did
came
pretty
round.
Damn good.
I
you
rallied.
Did.
You did. So, but yeah, like you said, we'd love to hear from anybody who just really doesn't like subspace. And if you've had different experiences with subspace that maybe we didn't describe here, feel free to reach out to us.
Please.
Because we're always learning. And yeah, that's...
We good?
I think so.
All right.
Okay. Look at us.
Yeah.
Wow. Finally, 146 episodes later, talk about one of the biggest topics.
Better late than
BDSM.
Never. Better late than never.
What other big topics have we missed?
Mm.
Send those comments too. Okay, y'all.
All right.
Keep it kinky,
kinky,
y'all. And we'll see you next week. Dottie.
Mm-hmm.
Can I talk to the crickets? Because you know there's a camera on me now.
There is.
Uh-huh. I wonder if I'm the only one who hears that you're not really Southern when you say y'all.
Don't give me away, damn it.
You do a great approximation of it. It is clear you've been listening to The Drawl for a long time.
I've lived in the South longer than I live where I used to.
But I can proudly say that I've been in the South longer than you've been in the
South.
Well,
that's true. That's true.
I'm native born.
All right. I was adopted at a young age.
That's true. By that's a whole different story. Not actually adopted, y'all. Like, figuratively adopted.
Yeah.
By an old Southern man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who I still would have vehemently disagreed with. Love you, mean it. In case the mic didn't pick that up, my husband, my dominant, the love of my life, said fuck you to me. So, okay. We are wiped out.
Yeah.
Hopefully that didn't come through in the main part. I don't think it did. I think it might have started a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I got rolling and I went on just multiple rants, one after the other.
You sat
here and looked so cute. You were eye candy and arm candy. That sounds good, right?
Good with that.
Well, it's one of those things I don't do it very
well. Should have dressed a little better, but
you wore your daddy dom shirt.
Yeah, I did.
I just want to go on the record. Okay. For having zero energy, I put a light layer of makeup on. I brushed my hair, put on a bra. I'm not wearing real pants. Don't be crazy.
Neither am I.
No. But I did, from like the boobs up, I took care of business before we turned on a camera. You and that vape. But no, we had a hellacious week last week.
Oh, please.
So.
Started Friday night for me.
No. Our week started like on Wednesday. Our bad week started on Wednesday because we discovered we have a typical 13-year-old.
I won't go into the details,
but a typical 13-year-old means, oh, they will lie to you and then they will get caught and they will keep lying until they have nowhere left to go. And then you have to deal with it as a parent.
Yep.
And that was not fun for me or you.
Either of us.
Well, and he's the oldest, and so I don't know any better. I feel like he is my grand experiment. And this was an experiment kind of moment. And I was like, oh my God, he bald faced lied to us for several months. And then when we confronted him, he bald faced lied again. And so we're exhausted and we're stressed and we're trying to not be our parents and all that really toxic way of parenting that a lot of us were raised with, mm-hmm. which is what sends some of us, named Kayla Lourdes, into therapy. So I'm trying, I might be his reason for a therapy bill later, but it's not going to be because I was toxic.
No.
So we were trying to navigate that. So that was the first thing. And we're like, oh, this is a big thing to happen this week. Hopefully it stays quiet.
Yeah.
And then Friday.
Oh,
I tweeted about it a little bit. So if you follow my personal Twitter, you might have seen it.
Yeah.
We had a disaster on our hands. You had a disaster. I was a witness to it.
This past Friday, as of this recording, was going September 7th.
September 7th.
Was
a day that will live in infamy.
Yeah. It was my start of the fall craft show season. First craft show of the season for the fall. Mm. And, yeah. we got all set up. Mm-hmm. Everybody
Booth
was there.
Great. Kayla,
whole family was there helping to get things set up, and the booth looked great. I was proud because I, even through the heat of the summer, I was working and I had more inventory than I ever had.
Oh my God, you didn't even have places for everything.
No. And then the sky got dark.
And it was just on the radar. It was a thin little line of rain. Thin
little line of rain.
It'll be a 20-minute shower. It's Florida in summertime.
The way it's moving on the radar, it's just going to blow through. Yeah, it blew through all right.
Blew away the tent? It didn't blow it away.
Didn't actually blow it away.
Broke it.
Broke it, collapsed the tent. I sent them all in the restaurant.
Oh, the lightning was hellacious,
because the lightning was hellacious. The rain was coming down so hard. The top of the canopy started taking on water. Mm-hmm. I'm standing on one of my totes trying to hold it up because of the weight.
Right. And water is heavy, if you didn't know.
Didn't work. The tent leg gave out anyway.
Broke.
Met
like steel.
It's steel, yeah.
Yeah, we're not talking aluminum.
Steel. No, this was a steel leg. This broke. Steel canopy. It broke. It totally cracked through the leg. It's junk now.
Some of your products and gear started floating away.
Floating away down the drain. I was scrambling because once the tent gave way, that knocked into the tables and stuff went flying. And I'm scrabbling in ankle-deep water trying to save stuff from floating down the drain.
I'm running out of the restaurant, leaving my children and my purse in a strange place. I'm like,
yeah.
Children who are not of legal age, watch this purse.
I'm
out the door to help.
The batteries that I use to...
$100 batteries.
brand new $100 battery that I hadn't even used got swept away in the water and is
almost went down the drain.
Almost went down the
sewage drain.
And is now a paperweight.
It is. It's a very beautiful paperweight.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've tallied up the total loss with everything between inventory, show fees, and equipment. The loss was what? 700 and what?
Actually up around 800.
$800.
Yeah.
That was Friday night.
Yep.
And so I actually got an episode topic or a blog topic or a video topic in my head from this because I immediately, once I saw, he was devastated, y'all. He was devastated. So I had to go from, I'm a cute little baby girl, to I'm a submissive and fucking control now, and my job is to take care of this man right here. And so it was, I took charge. Okay, you're not staying for this show. Your thing, because he was like, I don't know what to do. And one of the organizers was like, well, man, you could stay, just dry everything off. And we're looking at a wreckage. The rain is gone. The sun is coming out. And we're looking at wreckage of his booth. It looked like a tornado had hit it. And everything's broken and everything's bent and things are like on their, I mean, it was just awful. And so the dude, no empathy at all. He's like, just dry it off. You'll be fine. But it's your call, sympathy. So poor John Brownstone is standing there. He's got this lost look on his face. He's like, what's the right answer? And at first I was asking, right? Like at first I was doing the submissive thing of, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? And he's like, I don't know. I'm like, this is what we're going to do. You're packing your shit up and we're going home. This isn't worth it. You don't even know what works, what doesn't with his product because they're handmade and most of them are made of wood. Yeah, they're sealed and finished. But there's no way to know that you're not going to send somebody home with a product that by the time they get home, it won't even work.
Right.
So in good conscience, we couldn't do that. So I got it. I worked with them. We got packed
up. We got everything packed up.
It was weird because I was like, see if you can pull your car out. Because some people did start leaving. The rain was so bad. We weren't the only booth that happened to.
No.
And so people were starting to pull their cars back down the road, which was supposed to be closed. And I'm like, something's not right here. So I said, go see if you can get your car down here. Because we're looking at this mound of stuff that we're going to have to carry two blocks away. Got everything loaded up. We get home. We unload everything because now it's wet. It can't stay there overnight. That'd be gross. And he's exhausted. He is lost. He is stressed. And I said, guess what you get to do tonight? And he's like, what? I said, you take a shower and then you get to eat your feelings. And we are emotionally eating tonight.
And I did.
And so, yeah, I took care of dinner, dealt with the boys, but like put him to bed, put the kids to bed. I stayed up late because I was wired at that point. I was like, I'm not going to sleep. And then comes Saturday and we needed to deal with his stuff. And you've been doing that the past couple days, but Saturday was wallpaper day.
we stripped the
8 hours.
Wallpaper, 8 hours.
One room. I thought our kitchen was small. 8 hours later, I didn't feel like it was all that small anymore. It's like, this wallpaper's never going to end.
No.
But we used a steamer. We can verify that in our situation,
the steamer was a charm.
It worked good. I got an email from one of our crickets who was doing his own wallpaper stuff over the weekend, and he sent me pictures, and that was a horror show he sent, because in some places it was multiple layers of wallpaper and in some places it was paint and in some places, I mean, it just looked like a total nightmare. I was like, I am gonna stop bitching about our wallpaper,
right?
And then Sunday was, you started the stressful thing of going through the damage
everything.
From Friday night.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, Monday. So remember, we're time traveling. You're hearing this at least on Friday, the 14th, 15th.
Yeah.
Dates are hard. And maybe later than that, especially if you're watching on YouTube. But we're going through this on September 9th. So on September 10th, which was the youngest birthday, he turned 9. And we had to do all the birthday festivities. That was the day we were talking about the money and the loss and what we want to do. And then that was the day we did a long, long debate on what to do business-wise.
Right.
For John Brownstone. And so while that wasn't a physical thing, that was very much a mental thing.
Well,
it was
also, you know, at that Monday yesterday at this point, as of the recording, that was when I actually sat down and
tallied
it all up. So, yeah, it kind of hit home at that point. What a very expensive night Friday night.
Yeah, that was a very expensive thunderstorm that rolled through town.
Yeah.
And I know not everybody knows the expression, but if you do, it was what we would call a gully washer.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, now granted, I'm still a little annoyed that they thought that a spot in this show should be right by a sewage drain. Your tent was on top of a sewage drain.
Yeah.
And so all of the water that came rushing down the street came right through his booth. So whatever rain he would have experienced was quadrupled because all the rain from the street was coming through. And there, he was ankle deep in water, which he might not have been in any other part of the street.
Right.
And it meant that anything that got swept up by the rain was more likely to go down a drainage ditch. So I was, I'm like, why is this a spot in this show? When I was looking around and there were blank spaces, he could have been put all kinds of places.
Yeah.
So that's not anything we can do about it. You know, there's no going back to them. It's a buyer beware kind of thing. It's a hold no liability kind of thing.
Right.
So, but yeah, it was a gully washer. That was that. Mm-hmm.
Or a frog strangler.
Oh, I've never heard that one.
You never heard that
one? I've never heard that one. That's true, though.
Yeah.
We see lots of dead frogs after that kind of rain. That's so sad. But it's true. So, yeah, we're tired.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not complaining. Life is mostly good, but we're tired.
I think for me, in a way, because, we pretty much went
Non-stop
since Friday. For me, today has been kind of a drop.
Oh, God, yeah. I have no energy. I feel like I have no energy. No, I'm very cranky. I don't want to do any of my work. It's one of those days that what I really should do is reassess my schedule for the whole week and say, what can I conceivably move and do another day?
Mm-hmm.
Because, the energy is sapped out of me. I was excited. I can always tell where my head is at. Because when everything's just normal and we're, getting enough sleep and feeling good, man, you can't keep me from sitting down to this podcast. But today I was like, we're doing that today? Because our whole schedule this week got kind of flip-flop. Normally we would record a little bit later in the week, the way we've been doing it lately. And that didn't happen.
No.
And I was like, what do you mean we're recording today? I'm not prepared to record today.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we start recording and I start feeling better because I don't know what it is for you guys when you're listening, but for me, recording it is a form of therapy. It's a connection, which is probably an odd thing to say because what I'm doing is staring at a computer monitor and looking, speaking into a mic. the connection is an ephemeral kind of thing. But I know some of you guys out there listening, I know you personally, so I do feel a connection and it is... And I do worry. It's like, I don't want to bring negative energy to our podcast, but I think sometimes my negative energy when I'm not feeling it just comes out as rants and lectures.
Yes.
And I think that might just be who I am. Yeah. I just rant and lecture. And that's what this episode was.
Yeah.
But subspace does get me a little riled up. Not subspace, but the way people talk about subspace. It's like, it's either the Holy Grail of, this is all we can ever do. And that's the only amount of singing I'm going to ever do, y'all. I know that was awful.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
Hey, to you, I'll sing all kinds of things just to make your eardrums bleed. But I didn't really mean to do that to everybody else. That was supposed to represent the angel singing. I know it didn't sound like angel singing. I get frustrated for people who are just chasing it. And they think that's the end all be all. But I also get frustrated with people who are like, it's not real. Because I haven't experienced a thing yet doesn't exist. Oh, good Lord. That's some narrow thinking. There's a lot of things I haven't experienced that I know for a fact exist. Might not be the right thing for me. Might not be a thing I ever want to experience. But I recognize intellectually that it's a thing that other people can have an experience that I don't have. See, I'm getting all worked up again. We'll start lecturing. And this is the bonus section. We don't do that here. I'm going to drink out of my beautiful cup. Love this mug. Got it from Busch Gardens when we went a couple years ago. It's peacock. It's got a purple handle. I'm describing it for podcast listeners. The YouTube watchers are like, why the fuck are you telling me about this? Because this is multi-purpose here, y'all, and we don't edit. Which is why John Brownstone has burped. I thought he was going to sneeze. Not today.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to sneeze. You had a sneezing fit right before he started recording. I'm like, you better get that out of your system. We don't edit. So,
all right.
Anyway, I think that's it. Yeah. I feel a little off. I'm sure by
we
the time
we both are a little bit.
This episode actually goes live. I'm sure we'll be back to our normal self.
Yeah.
So if you're like, oh no, we're probably fine now. Yeah. We're already on the road to recovery.
Yes, we are.
You know, we just need a couple good nights sleep. Mm-hmm. You know, and to actually sleep at night. That would be nice.
What a concept.
I know. That would be so nice. I'd love to go to sleep.
All right.
Okay. Well, we need to let these nice people go about their day.
Yes.
We were doing so good with shorter shows. But subspace is a big topic.
It is.
So I think it's understandable.
Okay.
So yeah, that's it.
That's it.
We love you guys.
We love you. Thank you so much for joining us and spending time with us.
I know. And I know people have been busy lately. People are so sweet. They're like, I'm behind listening on the episodes. It's okay. That's what I like about podcasts. You can come back at any point. We try to keep topics mostly evergreen, so they're relatable whenever. Mm-hmm. So it's cool. Everybody's got lives. We're glad you have stuff going on. Shout out, because I know this. I know this might be true for other people, but shout out to Panda Daddy and Panda Kitten, who just, they're long distance, and they just had like a long weekend together, several days. I know they've already, you know, ended that visit, but I'm always so happy when our long distance friends get to come together for their, you know, being together and their kinky fuckery and whatever else you're going to do. So I saw that and I kind of stayed out of Twitter because it was like, yeah, they're not really here for us. They're popping in to go, yeah, I'm still alive. And then they're back out. So yeah, anytime you guys, any of y'all get to have those kinds of moments, we are genuinely very happy for you. And even if your kinky fuckery is local, because y'all live together, that's cool too. Mm-hmm. We're happy for anybody to get some kinky fuckery.
That's true.
Because one day we will get kinky fuckery again.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
All right.
We're going to go now.
Thank you.
Love you.
Bye.